will then come a little bit later to the project. So maybe even easy to develop a subject when two speakers have been three, if it is four or five, it is a little difficult. So we are all guests at the moment. We try to serve you as good as possible. I think, Keshen Chet Maharaj, you are the better singer. Would you sing better than I?
Okay.
You can bring that one in here.
Jai Shri Ram. Let us make a mountain and remove the board for the best.
this would be here, then
Svaparamule.
Svaparamule.
Es ist
lotus feet.
Ati
tam
fallen.
Tam him Prahlad Maharaj. Arvakam. Only a little boy. Vilokya
Sim.
Devaha. Lord Nrsimhadev. Vipaya. Out of his causeless mercy. Pariplutaha. Very much afflicted in ecstasy. Bhutabhya. Raising. Tat Shirshni. On his head. Adada. Placed. Karam Bhujam. His lotus hand. Kalahi. Of the deadly snake of time. Which can cause immediate death. Vitrasta, afraid, diyam, to all of those whose minds,
Vitabhayam,
which causes fearlessness. Can I now request to the bodies to please carry the thing? And we need fresh air. It's all free still, so please keep it open. The translation to this beautiful verse, please focus now. When Lord Nrsimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Purport. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, nidra, vaya, and maituna, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness, sada samut vignatiyam. And the only means to make everyone fearless is to eat pizzas. Just checking it, like the mental energy is very distracted, you have to focus a little bit more. So I start again. In the material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness, and the only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Nrsimhadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotees' hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrsimhadev. Please join me. Yato, yato, yami, tato, Nrsimha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrsimhadev. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Drishaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurani Prajayine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskajari Tadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jayananda Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Reha Gadadha Shivasati Yor Bhaktavinda. We all have come to celebrate the appearance day of Lord Nrsimhadev. Today is set aside for chanting the holy names and purifying our consciousness, so that tomorrow, on the actual appearance day, we will be able to receive the Lord in our purified heart. My dear devotees, I would like to start this lecture by telling you something about my own relationship to Lord Nrsimhadev, which has changed over the time. When I first started, I had an immature understanding of Lord Nrsimhadev, and I could see later that I had made a mistake and not understood him properly. The very first time I started to think seriously about Lord Nrsimhadev was when I needed physical protection. We had a group of preachers in Kabul, Afghanistan. We knew, we sent letters to Srila Prabhupada, and he said he was very happy that we would preach Krishna consciousness in such a foreign place. It was really adventurous because the culture was not very accepting at that time. And we were preaching as insensitive as we young devotees were at Ramadan, a month of intense focus for those who follow, who worship Lord Allah. And there was a lot of hostility towards us. We had been given a school, the Asamai Mandir, in one part of Kabul, which is well known even today. And there was a Hindu minority teaching the Hindu schools and Hindu people, Hindu children, and we were invited for some time to also give religious education. And then we also did many public programs in Kabul, and we had this feeling that we were constantly watched. Have you ever been in a situation, you go down the street and you feel someone is watching, you turn around and then you see in one shop some blankets are moving, some curtains are moving, and you don't see anyone, but you know that a second ago there was someone there. Or have you ever been in a crowd and you feel two or four sets of eyes boring into your back, and you turn around and there's some movement in the crowd, but you don't see anyone? This is how we felt in Kabul. There was constant people following us everywhere. We became afraid and we hired a bodyguard. One great artist in our movement came through Kabul. His name is Jan Manilaya. He has painted many pictures, and I said, Prabhuji, I'm really not confident in this bodyguard, this man there. We need Lord Nrsimhadev, really. And he painted a drawing for Lord Nrsimhadev in 10 days or 5 days. And it was really nice. And we put it on Chitakara, Prabhu, and myself. These were the main two, and there were others. And we worshipped him. We worshipped him like a bodyguard. to protect us from physical harm. We had a very distinct request. We need you to become safe from bodily harm. And we were attacked. There were three assassinators on our case, but the Lord did protect us, and we still are alive, our whole party, no one has died, and so on. This was how I first approached Lord Nrsimhadev, as a protector to help me go through my life and solve my problems. Later, we read in the Bhagavatam a verse where Prahlad Maharaj says he has a different relationship to the Lord. And he says, to want something like protection or wealth from the Lord, if you do like this, you are only a businessman, a merchant, and the Lord's reciprocation will be small, it will be appropriate. Can I read to you this verse, which was like a wake-up call? No, you don't answer. This means you don't want to hear the verse, or you are sleeping. Submissive. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj says this is the reason. My dear devotees, please listen. The Prahlad Maharaj says, "O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant, businessman, who wants profit in exchange for service." Prabhupada says it is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Huh? Give me money, my Lord, give me protection. And he says such a person is described here as a mercantile man, a businessman. It's in other words, and let us say, a beginning state of approaching the Lord, but it is not really in line of our sampradaya. And when I understood this, there was a long time where I didn't really know so much how to relate to Nrsimhadev. After all, he is our protector and he maintains us, and he, and Prabhupada says, when Lord Nrsimhadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. So he says the devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrsimhadev. Yato, yato, yami, tato, Nrsimha. But I understood, if I only asked for myself to become fearless, so that others will not harm me, no physical attack, no accident, no political moves in our society, so that I'm safe. That is a beginning state. That is not the way the devotee in the Gaudiya Sampradaya approaches Lord Nrsimhadev. I then found prayers of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur to Lord Nrsimhadev in who has appeared in a self-manifested deity in Namadvipa. And there
we find that Bhaktivinoda Thakur comes to this temple and he rolls himself in the dust before the temple because he has a prayer. His prayer is that his heart is full of lust and anger and all the other enemies, and he prays the Lord Nrisimhadev to remove these inner enemies so that pure love for Radha and Krishna can come in the heart. Lord Nrisimhadev in our line is in other words worship so that we can develop pure love, selfless love, selfless service. And that is the idea. And on the way to this, I begin to think, let me every Tuesday, that's the day of the Lord, tomorrow you also, I don't know if this is a coincidence or if it's always his appearance day is on Tuesday, but Tuesday is the day of Lord Nrisimhadev. So every Tuesday, I pray not for myself alone that my heart gets purified from the inner enemies. I pray actually for the devotees in our movement, those who are in immediate need, like people who are in the process of dying. I have them on the list, or devotees on the list who are close to me. But then I also think of the whole movement of Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is included. And then I pray for the whole world because I think devotees should pray for others' benefit, not only themselves. So my vision has changed. I was in Kabul very afraid of assassination for good reasons then I came to understand I can pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to help me to develop love of Godhead, and I pray also that others are benefited. I just wanted to say this as a personal confession or personal description so that it's not so abstract and philosophical. But now I would like to go into some other subject, that is Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance. Why has he appeared? First of all, Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance is the shortest appearance of all other avatars of Lord Krishna. He has only come for 2 muhurtas, that is exactly 48 minutes. It was during the dusk time, and in this time he accomplished all his purposes. He slayed Hiranyakashipu. He slayed the whole army of the emperor who wanted to take revenge on him. He developed a 10-armed form for this purpose. And then he listened to Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and the prayers of all the devatas, and then he disappeared again. There are many descriptions of this, and I think tomorrow we will hear, I heard there is a Nrisimha Katha, and we will hear a lot of the details. Only 48 minutes. Why did he come? The main purpose of Lord Krishna's appearance is discussed by himself in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Paritranaya Sadhunam. He comes in order to enliven his devotees. And then, Vinashaya Chaduskritam, that's something on the side, the secondary purpose, to kill the rascals, to remove the rascals so that Dharma can be installed again. Where I live, it's near Berlin, it's the place of Friedrich der Große, or as we say in lovingly in this area, Old Fritz. He is an emperor, not only in Prussia, but of Prussia, which means he is not just the king for this northern part. He has actually conquered much of Europe. He was a good king. He brought the Germans potatoes. And when you visit his grove, his grave, you will see to this day his tomb. You will see to this day potatoes on this tomb, because without to pay potatoes, where would we Germans be, especially in the winter time? How will you eat? What is there in these cold areas? Because I want to wake you up, I will tell some Monday news. He lies there next to his two dogs. He wanted to give a sign. Even if I'm a king, when death comes, I'm equal to the all other creatures, the dogs, the insects, and so on. He was a good king, had some idea of spiritual knowledge. So in the area where we live, he used to visit. And when Friedrich der Große would visit a village or a town to see maybe a person, to visit a person there, there would be very good side effects. The streets would be repaired, beautiful gardens would be created, street lights would be installed, and so on. The visit of the king has a primary reason and a secondary benefit. The primary reason is he sees a person he feels inclined to, makes a visit, and there's a secondary benefit. The streets are repaired and other things happen. So when Lord Nrsimhadev comes, his primary reason is to give love and affection to his devotees. This is what we hear here in this verse. The Lord Nrsimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet. He became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Rising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head. This you see also here. He also does it here. Because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. I'm not sure. He doesn't place the hand on the head of Prahlad here, but he has him on his left. So I will look. Maybe you also look very carefully where his hands are. His hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of the devotees. See, when I come on the altar, I always bathe this hand. It is his right hand. Can you see it? It's on your side, on the left. And there is some moon or sun inside. Can you see it? No, yes. Yes, leaving Maharaj. You don't deserve us. This is the hand which the Lord has risen to give fearlessness to the devotees. The scriptures it said. His hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Don't fear. I'm here. I don't fear. A loving relationship. He is a loving Lord who comes to this world like the king to give his affection to his devotees. And on the side, some side effects are he kills a whole army of demons, and the head demon is this. Hare Krishna is really dramatic. He takes his intestines and garlands himself to show this is what I do. I'm very angry if someone is against my devotees. Be careful. So, very clear statement. How does the Lord show his mercy? This is an interesting question which was discussed at the Rajasuja sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira had just seen an amazing pastime taking place. You know, Krishna had been chosen as the first person to be worshipped in this sacrifice, and then he was sitting in it on the throne. One very, very foul-mouthed king came, his name is Shishupal, and in very provocative language he challenged Krishna, and he called him things which we don't wish to repeat here. He really was bad things, he said. He was really bad. And Krishna made it very calmly. He was not provoked. His face didn't show any sign of upset, being upset. Like if you would start to speak provocative things about me here, I would most probably try for 2 minutes to look very calm. But then I couldn't control myself any longer, and I would become disturbed in my mind. But Krishna stayed throughout this very calm. At the end, after it is said he had made 100 offenses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Krishna took his chakra and cut his head. Now you might think, this is really very angry. What Yudhishthira saw was that the soul of Shishupal came out of the of his body and was absorbed in Krishna. In other words, he got a result which not even yogis get. He was blessed in a way that he came into Krishna's absolute closeness. And he thought, what is this? He asked Narada Muni. Narada Muni gave him an answer. He said, you must know one thing about the Lord. For him, he never sees friends and enemies like a normal person in this world. He just cannot see it, that someone is my enemy, and act in a bad way. No, on the opposite side, whenever someone thinks of him, even as an enemy, Krishna is ready to give him a very high spiritual gifts and so on. And with this, Narada Muni begins to prepare his katha on Lord Nrisimhadev. He says, I want to tell you a historical example how even a demon like Hiranyakashipu, when he was killed by Lord Nrisimhadev, got his kindness. He was delivered from material existence, finished. That is his absolute mercy. And then he brought a principle which, my dear devotees, I think is so important in Krishna consciousness that we can apply it. He said, somehow or other, one must think always of Krishna. If a conditioned soul somehow or other thinks of Krishna, who is Sachit Ananda Vigraha, then he will become free from all their sins. Whether thinking of him as a worshipable Lord, that's for us devotees, or an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. This means for me, if you are in Krishna consciousness but you never think of Krishna, well, then you miss the whole point of this movement. You have to learn to think of Krishna, and this starts really by chanting the holy name. When you chant, you should pray to Krishna that he accepts you in his service. And then Narada Muni gives an example which is from the scripture. He says, sometimes a grass worm is taken by a bee and then brought into a hole, and the hole is sealed because the bee wants to keep it for later. And then the grass worm, who's now confined in this hole in a wall, thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. So this is the idea. In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada talks about this idea. Thinking of Krishna, and he gives a slightly different example, the example of a caterpillar who thinks of becoming a butterfly and later takes to the sky. And it means it flies and is a butterfly. So he says, in the same way, if a devotee thinks of Krishna while he is here in this material world, he will develop a constitutional nature like that of Krishna. Means he gets a spiritual body and associates with Krishna in the spiritual world. When Krishna appears as Nrisimhadev, even the demons benefit, because he is all auspicious and he does not see, this is my enemy, he should be sent to the guillotines, that means he should be killed or fought against. He is a lot transcendental to the gunas. At the end, before I stop, I would like to bring you to a discussion. I found a very good book of His Holiness Kadamba Kana Maharaj. It is here. I understand there are many disciples of him. Golokera Premadana. It's a collection of Vaishnava quotes. And there he has one quote which describes how the Lord manifests his mercy to the people of this world. It's a discussion between a couple, a husband and a wife. The man says, "Beloved, listen to me. The Lord grants his mercy to this world in three ways." The woman asks, "What are the three ways in which the Lord grants his mercy to this world? Would you like to know it?"
Yes.
Good. Man. Man says, first, he manifests his mercy by directly appearing before his devotee. This he did in the case of Prahlad Maharaj. Second and third are ways in which he can appear to us. Second, The Lord grants His mercy by personally entering His devotee's heart. That is when you can think of Krishna, or when you take darshan of the Lord. And in your, you see, when you take darshan, it's not just an eye exercise or something for your mobile phones to send to your friends. I was there. It's something which is for you. You pray for the Lord to see you, and then you wish that you can have that image in your heart. Capture it there, the photo camera of the heart. And the third way in which the Lord grants His mercy to this world is by appearing in His devotee's thoughts. You should ask the Lord, please help me that I can think more of you. Because by thinking of you, my sins are going and I will able to rejoin you in a spiritual world, in my spiritual body. This thinking of Krishna is something which must be practiced. And if it's not practiced, oh, you will be a desperate old man, or a desperate old lady, when you become old. Mm. And we have many desperate old men and old ladies. It is because the point must be kept. If you want to know where this is from, it's from Chaitanya Champuradaya Nataka, Acts 9, 13 to 15. My dear devotees, we have a dilemma which needs to be cured. We can't think of Krishna, but we think of mundane things all the time. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, we are in between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. We are marginal. He says like this: once Hiranyakashipu concluded that the Supreme Lord does not exist in this world. No God here. He tried in many ways to convince Prahlad of this, and he presented many arguments against the Lord's existence. His main argument was, when the Lord is there, then show him now, show me. He must be, when the Lord is everywhere, he must be in this pillar. And he thought, he can't be in the pillar. I had this pillar constructed. I know this pillar. On this pillar, by the way, I have heard from Sripad Mahaprabhu, he had all the heads of the people he had defeated, you know, carvings of the head. This pillar reminded him constantly that he was the supreme, because he had defeated all the kings of the world. There was only one face missing, and that face came out of the pillar. So he had presented many arguments against the Lord's existence. But Srinivas Shingadev appeared from a pillar, and Hiranyakashipu and the whole world was benefited. The devotee sees the Lord everywhere, and the non-devotee cannot feel His presence anywhere. the non-devotee says, where is the Lord? And the devotee says, where is the Lord not? So we are situated in the middle sometimes. We show our attraction for devotional service. The next moment we engage in material enjoyment. It is by the desire to serve the Lord that we can control the desire to enjoy the world. Hare Krishna. So this is our benefit, or this is what we can hope to attain in this Narsimha Chaturthi. So tip the scale. Let the material attachment in us go down, decrease, vanish. Let the Hiranyakashipu in our heart stop. He's an enjoyer of gold and women. Let that go down, and let the devotion and the service go up, and this comes my blessing, about asking for the blessing. My Lord, please appear in my life. Please protect me from my Hiranyakashipu tendencies. Please allow me to develop Prahlad tendencies, devotee tendencies. Prahlad says, my Lord, I know you sent me to this world so that I can be an example for the conditioned souls. And you know what devotional service Prahlad Maharaj represents? Smaranam, that means to think of Krishna. That is his. If you meet Prahlad Maharaj in Brihad Bhagavatam, it is described, he sits for himself and he thinks of the Lord. He meditates, he remembers the Lord, all this, with tears in his eyes. So this is what I really wanted to share with you. I have to excuse my sometimes aggressive style. It's just something bare background, you know, between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. So sometimes the qualities come out. And I really want to encourage you to go to think of your relationship of Lord Nrisimhadev, to think what it is now, and to think about what you have heard from Shastras, that the Lord is affectionate to his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, and his mercy, his affection manifests really, so that in that we can think of Krishna. I feel maybe the greatest problem in my life is that I seem to forget Krishna so many hours during the day, only in the Bhagavatam, when I read the Bhagavatam each morning, then I think. And the way to stop this mistake and to use really the human form of life for what it is meant is to train our thinking of Krishna. And that comes when you do consciously your service for his pleasure. So, Hare Krishna. I'm always a little bit fast when I'm sitting next to Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj because he is the learned person amongst us. So, we want to hear now from our Maharaj about this.
Hare Krishna. I think I can make a microphone. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Prasadine Nirvishesha Sundari Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Namaste jaste jase.
Namaste jaste jase.
Abhir abhir va.
Abhir abhir va.
Vajranaka.
Vajranaka.
Vajradangstra.
Vajradangstra.
Karmasayam.
Karmasayam.
Randhaya.
Randhaya.
Randhaya. Tamo,
Rasa
Rasa,
Rasa Rasa,
Om, Svaha,
Abhayam,
Abhayam, Atmani,
Atmani,
Bhuishta,
Bhuishta,
Om. I was informed, or I noticed on the schedule for this festival that there's a theme to this festival. It said on the top of the file that I received, it said that the theme of this festival is how Lord Nrsimhadev removes obstacles on the path of devotional service of bhakti. So I thought I would try to address this topic. I may start today, I may expand something tomorrow. And I want to start with a particular claim, particular thesis, and my thesis is, and we may discuss about this, you may want to argue against me, my thesis is that in bhakti there are no obstacles. Which you might say defeats the whole purpose of the festival. If there are no obstacles in the practice of bhakti, and we're hearing that by that Lord Nrsimhadev removes obstacles on the path of devotional service of bhakti, and I'm saying there are no obstacles, then what are we talking about? I want to begin with a verse spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in chapter 8 of Canto 7. This is verse number 7. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking with his father, and he says as follows. He says, Na kevalam me bhavatascara dham savai balam balinam chaparesham Hare Vare Mi Stira Jangama Ye Brahmadayo Yena Vasham Pranita. My dear King, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As you know, this is Prahlad Maharaj's response to Hiranyakashipu's question. Prahlad, where do you get your strength from? Nrsimhadev has become more and more worried because all of his attempts to kill Prahlad have failed. And every time he tries to kill him, to destroy him, Prahlad comes out completely untouched, unscathed, as if nothing had happened. This is amazing. Just as King Yudhishthira was amazed to see Shishupala enter into the body of Krishna. Shishupala, by the way, means literally babysitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shishu.
Protector of babies. So Hiranyakashipu is astonished at Prahlad's power. And he finds no way to mitigate this astonishment than to ask Prahlad himself, where do you get your power from? And what's Prahlad's answer? I get my power from the same source you get your power. And it's the same source that everyone gets all their power from. And it doesn't matter what sort of being we're talking about, whether moving or not moving, and so on. So, this of course is going to make Hiranyakashipu even more angry and more disturbed, but it also makes him, we can say, more inquisitive. He wants to know, where is this Lord who is protecting you? This morning, I was looking up as I was chanting Japa, and I saw the stones flying. And at first, I didn't see the pillar here. I just saw the stones. And I thought, oh, interesting, meteors. what a clever
decoration.
Meteors. And then... And then Agnidev Prabhu pointed out to me, they are coming from there. Oh, they're coming from the pillar. Yes, very nice. So we have this sort of frozen image of what happens after Hiranyakashipu asks this crucial question, where... If this Lord that you say is everywhere is really everywhere, then he must also be in this pillar. So he's using a certain logic. Everywhere would include the pillar, right? And so he then says, well, let's make a test. Scientific test. We hear a lot about atheism nowadays, what's now enjoying a certain prestige as the new atheism. Well, guess what? Atheism has been around for a long time. There's nothing new about atheism. There's a long tradition of atheism. Was Hiranyakashipu an atheist? Who says that he was an atheist? Who says he was not an atheist? Now, many of you are afraid to vote. Come on. not an atheist? And who's... You're half voting.
I think he was an atheistic demon.
An atheistic demon. Oh, okay. Atheistic. You want to go which way? Yeah. Huh? Atheist, not atheist.
Not atheist, but
it's
a demon.
Not atheist, but a little bit demon. Okay. Yes. Yes?
He knew... Nishinadev exists, but he recognizes
God. Okay. He's okay, some sort of recognizing but not recognizing. Okay. That could be. I want to argue that he's not an atheist. But we'll discuss this, I think, more tomorrow, actually. In fact, tomorrow I have something... Satchinandan Swami likes to speak of surprises, right? So tomorrow I have a surprise. But the point I want to make is that Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about strength. He uses the word bala. There's another word in English. We speak of strength. We also speak of power. More broadly, we speak about power. And power is something which everyone wants. The power companies are very eager to get more power. They are digging for more fossil fuels. They are, in America, they are fracking. It's a process for getting natural gas, which takes huge, huge, huge amounts of water, which is then contaminated, all in order to get power. Military governments want to have more power. North Korea, we always hear about North Korea these days. They're pointing their rockets. We're going to get you. And then the other countries are saying, oh no, you're not. And how are they doing this? With displays of power. Right? So everyone is looking for power, and Prahlad Maharaj says, where is this power coming from? It's coming from one source only. It's coming from the Lord. There was an economist in England. He was British, and he migrated to America in the 20th century. So he was an economist. He was interested in things related to economy, but he wrote one book called The Three Faces of Power. And he identifies three types of power, which he says you will find anywhere in the world. Do you want to know what he said?
Yeah.
Even though he's a carny demon. He said there are three kinds of power. One is the power of threat, the power of weapons. A second is the power of exchange. This is mainly what economists are concerned with. And the third, you will be surprised to know, hearing from an economist, is that the third type of power is the power of love. And of the three kinds of power, he said, one of them is the most powerful. And this, he said, is the power of love.
How so?
Well, he was a Quaker. Do you know who the Quakers are? Preeti probably knows who the Quakers are. The Quakers are a Christian tradition. They do a lot of sort of silent meditation on what we might call the super soul. They don't use that term. They speak of the Holy Spirit. But in any case, that's his background. I want to relate this to our own ways of understanding this. And I thought how we might do this is to think in terms of the Lord's pastimes described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I want to talk about three sorts of pastimes of the Lord in which he shows power, three different types of power. And we can start with threat power, and we can immediately perhaps think of Nrsingadev. Vajranatka vajradangstara karma sayan randhaya. Randha means destroy. Randhaya is command. Destroy. Karma sayan. The desires which are in my heart. That prayer is saying, my dear Lord, please enter with your vajra naga. What means vajra?
Thunderbolt.
Vajranaka. He has thunderbolt nails. And Vajra?
Dhamshra.
What means Dhamshra? His teeth, yes. So his teeth and his nails are like thunderbolts, and with those teeth and nails, what can he do? He can enter your heart, in which the Hiranyakashipu desires are lingering, and he can destroy them. That is threat power. Vajra is also the weapon that Indra uses to destroy Rudra. In the Rig Veda, Indra is a great hero because he kills the dragon Vritra. And Vritra is a great troublemaker because he withholds the waters of the universe. He's something like a big cloud, a big dark cloud, which is not letting its rain fall. And then the thunderbolts of Indra comes, whack, and opens up the cloud, which is Vritra, and lets the rain fall for the benefit of all beings. So that Vajra, that is the threat power which the Lord can engage for exhibiting his power, but also for benefiting the world. Exchange power. Does the Lord show exchange power? What do you think? Prahlad Maharaj, we just heard, says that if you are in a relationship of exchange with the Lord, that is low class, right? What about Vamanadeva and Bali Maharaj? Vamanadeva went to Bali Maharaj to have an exchange with him. We know the story. Bali comes as this petite dwarf, a cute little Brahmin boy, and he says, "Sir, you are a Kshatriya. You can please give me something. You can give me 3 steps of land." And probably Bali was thinking, 3 steps of land from this little boy, that's going to be a triangle, right? 1, 2, 3, and that's not even going to be 1 square meter in size. So no problem. We can make a deal here. We know what happens. Another exchange situation we might want to think of is, again, little Krishna, this time coming to his father, Nanda Maharaj. When Nanda Maharaj is preparing to perform the yajna, the sacrifice, the annual yajna for Indra, little Krishna says, "My dear father, what's going on here? What is this about? Please tell me." And his father explains, "This is Indra Yagya. We do this every year in order to please Lord Indra, because he is supplying us with water, with rain, and in this way everything is maintained." And as we know, what does little Krishna say? He says, I think that's not necessary. And he proceeds to speak a certain philosophy, a kind of parody of Mimamsa philosophy, in which he says the only thing that really matters is our action, our karma. And in any case, he persuades his father that let's try something else. Instead, let's just worship Govardhan Hill, because our immediate experience is that everything we get comes from Govardhan Hill. And Dad says, "Well, yeah, okay, why not? Because Krishna is so cute." He's so sweet. He's so irresistible. And so Nanda Maharaj agrees. And we all know what happens. Indra feels left out of the exchange. And as a result, there's trouble. There's not only rain, there are torrents of rain practically attempting to destroy Vrindavan. And of course, Krishna solves the problem in a wonderful way. As one might not expect, he lifts up the entire Govardhan Hill and he holds it like an umbrella, or like as a child would pluck a mushroom. He holds up for 7 days and seven nights. This is Krishna's power of exchange, we can say. And it's a third sort of power we can speak of, we have to speak of, in relation to this economist, the most powerful, he says, is love power. And where do we see Krishna exhibiting his love power most famously, most extensively in the Rasa Lila? And how does he do it? He simply plays his flute. And of course the gopis are so compelled to come to meet Krishna that they drop everything, whatever they are doing, and then they come to meet Krishna in the forest. And that exchange is so intensely a demonstration of love that it becomes even more intense when Krishna disappears. And then after some time, he appears again. And there we see the demonstration of love of the gopis, who go completely mad when Krishna disappears. When they search for Krishna, they start imitating Krishna. Now that is getting crazy. To imitate Krishna, we don't do that. The gopis can do that. In their sense of separation from the Lord, in their sense of the Lord's absence. Hiranyakashipu is also feeling absence of the Lord. For Hiranyakashipu, the Lord is hidden. In fact, he kind of boasts about this. He says, we don't have to worry about Vishnu. He has disappeared. He has entered into the heart, where we can't find him. So we don't have to worry about him at all. So all of these displays of power of the Lord may remind us of a technical point, and that is, there is the Lord, Shaktiman, and there is his power, Shakti. Now, I won't go into this in detail. You can, you may speak something about it tomorrow. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Jiva Dharma, chapter 14, goes into great detail about the relationship of Krishna and his Shakti in order to make a certain point. And the point is that the Lord Shakti has nothing to do with this material world. It is entirely spiritual. And because his power is entirely spiritual, therefore it is possible to connect with that power. And how is that done? That is called bhakti. And because it's the Lord's energy, which is non-different from him, it is thoroughly spiritual, and therefore bhakti is thoroughly spiritual. Where something is spiritual, where is the question of there being an obstacle to it? Now, at this point, you may say, well, that's all very nice philosophy, but my experience is I've got obstacles all over the place. At every step, I'm meeting obstacles. Does anyone experience that? So you may be wondering, what is the use of, you know, talking like this? This is all very nice, high philosophy. But I want to hear something practical. Yes? The subject was, how is it that the Lord destroys our obstacles in devotional service? Well, one hint that Prahlad Maharaj gives us is, I believe it's in the next verse after this. He says, my dear father, is it him? No, it may be the next one. He says, my dear father, let me give you some good advice. My advice to you is, do you want to hear what Prahlad's advice is? His advice is that you consider enemies and friends as the same. Now you may say, well, that's all very well. That's, again, a little bit theoretical. But let's remember, Prahlad is experiencing this. Prahlad is not seeing his father as an enemy. And that's why Prahlad can say in his prayers, Naibod vijay paradurak jaya vaitaranyas tadvirgat ayanamaham na chitta. Shocheta to vimukacheta sa indriyarta maya sukaya varam udvahato vimurthana. For myself, I have no problem. Shocheta taha, but I have a problem for all those vimukacheta whose consciousness has turned away from the Lord. Maya Sukha, who are finding Sukha, happiness, in Maya, who are Vimudha, they're not only Mudha, they're Vimudha, super Mudha, super fool. I'm only concerned with them. For myself, my consciousness is Magna Chitta, it is absorbed in your glories. So again, you will say, but that's Prahlad, what about me? But let's remember, Krishna, that Prahlad is giving advice not just to Hiranyakashipu, he's also giving advice to us. How is it possible to see someone who is inimical to us equal to someone who is very nice to us? Someone, you know, we all have our friends and we feel so good when we're with our friends. And we feel so terrible when we are with people who may see us as devotees and think, bleh, who don't like us. I can't feel the same as that, but Prahlad is pointing to how we should aim to think, even if we fall short of this. Okay, I want to say something more about that hopefully tomorrow, but to close, I want to end with one point to relate to this. I want to suggest, well, this is a bigger subject, but I want to suggest that this is a kind of non-dualism. Actually, there's a lot of non-dualism in the Bhagavatam. But I want to suggest that this is a kind of therapeutic non-dualism, as opposed to metaphysical non-dualism, which is also there in the Bhagavatam, Vedanti, Tattva, Vedas, etc. But therapeutic non-dualism, we find this very much in Bhagavad Gita. Yoga sta kuru karmani sangam chakta dananjaya siddhya siddhyo samobhupa samatvam yoga uchate samatvam. Equal in consciousness, Krishna says, that is yoga. Right, but again, it's all a little bit abstract and it doesn't make us very excited. We don't feel all kinds of power of love overflowing as we hear these points. So I'll end with a portion, a very small portion of a letter from Srila Prabhupada, which he wrote to Sripad Jayapataka Swami. Jayapataka Swami was in Mayapur in 1972. Prabhupada wrote so many letters in which he was encouraging the devotees. And he had received a letter from Jayapataka Maharaj reporting about the activities going on there. And apparently the letter was very positive, so much so that Prabhupada responded, expressing his appreciation in this way. He says, and this is paraphrasing, he says, attachment to service makes for no hindrance. There is no hindrance of self-motivation. So hindrance, obstacle, we're talking about destroying obstacles. He's saying there's no hindrance of self-motivation when there is attachment to service. And he's giving the devotees of Mayapur as example of this. He says, you are attached to your service. Never mind all kinds of conditions of material nature. As a result of your attachment, you are not concerned about the conditions of material nature. He says, that idea has become prominent in you. It is, and I like this phrase, it is bigger than Maya's idea. Therefore, Maya cannot interfere to make you quarrel or other things. So the attachment to service, no hindrance, it brings no hindrance of self-motivation. And thus one is empowered to go through all kinds of apparent obstacles of material nature. This idea, he says, has become prominent in you in such a way that it is greater than Maya's idea. So that's very nice. So I will end here for today. We've come to the end of our time, unless someone has a burning question for Satchinandan Swami.
Or you. Or Krishna Chaitanya.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful.
Yes, do you have any questions to either one of us?
Yes, a question for you. Thank you for your class and enlightenment on the situation. It's how to be sure to please really the Lord.
He's fixing that.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. Thank you for your class and your enlightenment. I would like to ask you, Satchinandan Swami Maharaj, how to be sure that the Lord accepts and is pleased by what we do. because sometimes we are also in spontaneous service or when preaching alone. I to be sure.
How to be sure that the Lord
accepts our service.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. There are two ways in which we can be sure that the Lord accepts our service. One way is, and it may sound surprising, that you feel greatly satisfied. See, when we serve the Lord, then please the Lord, at that moment we are in a connection with the Lord. It's just like when we give water to the roots of a tree, all the leaves on the tree feel enlivened. In this example, the Lord is the root of the tree and we are the leaves. So when we have managed to give water to the root of the tree, the leaves are fully energized. So if you have managed to satisfy Lord Krishna, you feel very energized. Now this is one way to say that. It is not the only way. There are sometimes also other moods in devotional service, like a feeling of separation from Lord Krishna, but I want to exclude this for a moment. So usually when you satisfy Krishna, you feel also satisfied. Now you should not try to satisfy Krishna so that you are satisfied, and then it's a little difficult, you know. But the idea is, if you're really in devotional service, you feel usually very good. You feel empowered by the Lord. Now another indicator of knowing how that the Lord is satisfied is if his devotees, especially one of his devotees, your own spiritual master, is satisfied by what you do. There you can also see if the Lord is satisfied, because he likes the Vaishnavas he receives service through Vaishnavas and through his representative Vaishnava, the spiritual master. So these two things I would offer as an explanation. But usually, because we are simple people, you know, when you really, when you surrender to Krishna, and you're satisfied, it's not that you will lack something. You feel so inspired and enlivened. It is that you know at that time this pleasure is different than the pleasure you derive with selfish things like eating something nice. It is a different category. You know it is. You feel it in your heart. Hare Krishna. I think to keep to the schedule, yes, our managers are nodding their heads that we should keep to the schedule. So I'll say, I think on behalf of both of us, thank you so much for your kind attention, participation. We wish you a wonderful day today of hearing and chanting, and yes, Shravanam Kirtanam. Narsingha Smarana. Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Gopti Vaishnavarinda Ki Shri Shri Kalad Lakshmi Narsingha Deva Ki Gaur Premanande.